Well, you remember that last week we talked about how we need to remain steadfast to the gospel and to keep the presentation of the gospel simple, remembering that even if we did everything right in presenting the gospel and remaining steadfast, that there are times when we will be spurned for sharing the gospel. And all this goes back to what Jesus told the apostles, and by way of extension, you and me, in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28, 19. And later, before Jesus ascended to heaven, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told them that they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, right there in Acts chapter 1, the role of being a witness to the world is set in a geographical term, as some place related to where you are. And so for us, for you and me today, as we reach out to those who are on our immediate circle, to our friends and family, that's our Jerusalem. And when we extend ourselves to those who are outside of our immediate circle of relationships, to like our neighbors and to the checkout person at the gas station or whatever, to those we don't know, that's to our Judea and Samaria. And then as we move way, way, way out and we send stuff overseas and everything like that, and we reach out to those who are miles and miles and miles away, maybe on WBS or WEI or something like that, well, that's reaching out to the ends of the earth. That's us trying to do that, you see. And that's how really we're going to approach the next couple of weeks' lessons on Sunday morning. And so today we're gonna go ahead and talk about those within our circle, those within our immediate circle, those who are family and our close friends. And we're going to do that by taking a look at someone that we don't often talk about a whole lot, and that's the Apostle Andrew. And when we look at Andrew as far as, you know, apostles go, you know, he's sort of a regular guy. He's a man's man. In fact, his name means manly. And if your name is Andrea, it's kind of also manly, but it really means, you know, like strong. So anyway, but Andrew's a fisherman, and he's an outdoorsy kind of a guy. And he's a working man's man. He's a guy who's not afraid to get his hands dirty, okay? And from what we could tell, Andrew is kind of a quiet guy. He's kind of a quiet guy. Now, maybe that's because we don't read a whole lot about him in the scriptures. He's only mentioned around a dozen times, and four of those times are when he's listed with the names of the other 11 apostles in Matthew and Mark and Luke and the book of Acts. Now, that's not to say that Andrew's not important. I mean, he's important enough for God to have included his name in the Bible, so that makes him important, okay? And that means that those few times he is mentioned, we should look at them carefully, because when Andrew is mentioned in the scriptures, he's usually doing something pretty important. He's bringing people to Jesus. So let's go ahead and take a little bit of time this morning and find out a little bit more about Andrew and how he connects with his immediate circle of family and friends. And we're going to start with John chapter 1 and verses 35 through 42. Again, that's John 1. 35 through 42. Reading from the NIV, the text says, "The next day, John," and that's John the Baptist, "was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'what are you saying? I mean, where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and they saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Verse 40 says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You'll be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. And so, as we take a look at this, you can begin to see why Andrew makes a really good disciple. He's a good disciple of Jesus. So let's take a little look at that text again, starting in verse 35, because that's when we first meet Andrew. If you look at that, you might say, "I don't see Andrew's name there." But you see, Andrew's already a disciple of John the Baptist. Right there in verse 35, we're told that the next day John was there with two of his disciples. And then in verse 37, those two disciples followed Jesus. And then in verse 40, we read that Andrew was one of the two who had followed Jesus. So we can go ahead and say then that Andrew was a disciple of John's, right? Now, we can only guess, but it seems to me that Andrew was thrilled by the way John the Baptist was. I mean, I still picture this manly man who Andrew kind of is. He's a working class guy, and he sees John the Baptist. He's out there all stern and fiery, you know, and he's got that, camel's hair, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and he's rustic, you know. Still, Andrew, like many of John's disciples, was eagerly waiting for the one that John always talked about. And then it happened, right? John sees Jesus, and he proclaims, "Look, the Lamb of God." And you don't need to be a Christian too long before you hear Jesus described as the Lamb of God. I really do like the song, Lamb of God, in our songbook, as a matter of fact. So, but if you look at the scriptures, it might kind of come to a bit of a surprise to you that phrase, the Lamb of God, is only used twice in the whole Bible. Just twice. Once here in verse 36 and earlier up in verse 29 that we didn't read this morning. And while it's only used twice, it's an incredibly powerful description of just who Jesus is. You see, calling Jesus a lamb picks up on that Old Testament sacrificial system where lambs by the thousands, maybe the millions, were slaughtered and sacrificed to cover the debt of sins. And here John is saying, "Hey, there's a new lamb. There's a new lamb in town, you know. He's the ultimate lamb, the supreme lamb. He's the one lamb who can truly take away the sins of the world. No other sacrifices ever need to be made again, just one. The lamb is on the scene now, and that means that our sins can be completely forgiven thanks to him. The Lamb of God, the Lamb who took on human flesh," as John writes about here in the first chapter. "The Lamb who washes us totally clean with his blood. The Lamb who makes us realize that we cannot save ourselves." You know, contrary to what I believe some young people might think, we all go through life. I don't know if you know what I mean. You know, usually when people go through problems, especially those younger, they think, mom and dad never went through that, or grandma and grandpa, they're too old. They probably don't even know what a car is, you know. And so they get talking about things, right? And it can be kind of hard just living life from day in to day out. But, you know, we've all had our personal tragedies. And there have been times when we simply don't know what to do. And so we sit with our hands on our, you know, with our head in our hands, admitting, this stuff is just going to beat me. I'm going to lose. I'm not going to win. I can't beat it. I can't defeat it. I've got all these problems. And, you know, you're absolutely right when you say that you can't win on your own. But with the Lamb, with God, anything is possible. And that's really the glorious gospel truth, that the Lamb wins, not sin, not a disease, not death, not tragedy. The Lamb who could defeat all those things in our life, the Lamb who compels us to follow him as his disciple, is Jesus. And Andrew, well, he clearly was compelled, wasn't he? You know, John says, "There's the Lamb." Andrew said, "Okay." And he followed. And he not only followed, but he asked others to come along with him. Not too long ago, there was a national survey that was done that showed that about 75% of churchgoers reported that they came to church the very first time because someone invited them. But the other statistic in that same study showed that about 54% of that same number admitted that they didn't invite anyone to church themselves during the past year. I think that's something for us to think about. So why would Andrew do what a lot of Christians maybe don't? Well, maybe part of the reason was that Andrew believed that Jesus was just worth knowing. Think about it. John chapter 1 tells us that Andrew was one of the followers of John the Baptist. And then one day, you know, John sees Jesus and he points him out to Andrew and another man saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And Andrew took John seriously. And so he left John and he began to follow Jesus. And the very first thing that we're told that Andrew did after meeting with Jesus was he went and brought his brother to Jesus. He brought Peter to Jesus. And you have to think, well, why? Why would he do that? Well, Andrew understood that Jesus was the Lamb of God that everybody had been waiting for. Jesus was the Messiah that had been promised. Jesus was the one that God had sent to change the lives of his people. And Andrew loved his brother far too much to have him miss out on all that. He said, "Peter, you just gotta see him. We found him." You see, Andrew believed that Jesus was worth knowing. And so we are to believe that Jesus is worth knowing too. Makes good sense, right? And if Jesus is worth knowing, then he's worth making sure that the people that we love know him too. Just think about the eternal significance of knowing Jesus. Just staying in the Gospel of John and not moving around all that much right now, if you flip over to John chapter 6 and down in verse 35, Jesus tells us that he's the bread of life. And he who comes to him will never go hungry, and he who believes in him will never be thirsty. You see, everyone has this kind of hunger. They've got that hunger inside them to be loved and to love, and there's this emptiness or this loneliness that can only be filled by God. And here is Jesus saying that he can fill that spiritual hunger and quench that spiritual thirst that all people have in their lives. Isn't that worth telling someone about who's lost and broken? What about the significance of the Lamb again? You know, we're all sinners, right? And the scripture says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. But let's face it, right? No one likes it when a loved one dies and they're not in Christ. But because of the good news of Jesus, Jesus being the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, well, he gives us life. Jesus himself told us that he is the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in Jesus will live even though he dies. That's over there in John 11:25. Christians don't need to fear death then. We don't need to fear hell. We have the resurrection in Christ. And so when a Christian dies, we will be with other Christians in God forever. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, John 14:6. And because of that truth, Jesus is worth sharing. He's worth sharing with those that we care about, because whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects his Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. That's John 3:36. You see, it's important for us to remember, I believe, that if the people we love don't love Jesus, then sadly, you know, they're not going to heaven. We need to think about it this way. You know, if there was a fire in our home and we had six relatives, you pick any number you want, let's just choose six. Say you had six relatives in your house, place is on fire, you know, you have to ask yourselves, how many would you have to get out before you'd be satisfied? You see, Andrew felt an urgency to share Jesus with his brother Peter because Andrew believed that Jesus was worth knowing and sharing. And that's the primary reason that you and I should be bringing people to Jesus, because he's worth knowing and sharing. Second reason that Andrew brought his brother and others to Jesus was because he didn't know any better. He didn't know any better. He was simply just excited about sharing Jesus. And so we're to be excited about sharing Jesus too. You see, Andrew didn't realize that he needed to have some sort of a preaching certificate from some preaching school or degree to talk to somebody about Jesus. And Andrew didn't know he had to go through all these books and look up all these theological arguments to try to defeat everybody who comes at him with every little thing, you know. And he didn't have any kind of clue that he needed to be a leader in the church and have some sort of a title on an office door or something in order to share the gospel. He was just too excited to share Jesus, wasn't he? And you know that you don't need to have a title or be a theologian or some kind of a church leader, have a degree anywhere to share Jesus. You just need to love Jesus to share Jesus, you know? And so when Andrew approached his brother, he didn't get all tied up in all kinds of wild theological arguments. He simply tells him, hey, we found the Messiah. And then he takes Peter to go see Jesus. Now you say to yourself, okay, Chuck, that sounds great. So how do you do that today? Because Jesus isn't here to tell him all the stuff. Well, we've got God's word. All right. So, hey, guess what? I found the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Let's go meet Jesus and open up the pages of the Bible. You see? Now, he was kind of like a little boy, maybe. You know, you might have heard the story about the little boy that moved into the city from the countryside. And he got up early one morning just filled with excitement. He's running all around the house, and his mom wanted to sleep in late, so she dresses him up in his play clothes, puts him outside to go play, and she goes back and tries to take a little bit of a nap. And about 20 minutes later, he comes running back. Mommy, Mommy, everybody has doorbells, and they all work. You know, just so excited about everything, you know. Andrew was excited. I mean, think about the woman at the well in John 4 again. And how in verses 28 and 29, we read that she left her water jar that she brought to fill with water. But she left it there. And she went back to the town and said to the people, come, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? You see, she was excited about meeting Jesus. So she left her jar and she went back to tell everyone, hey, guess what? Found the Christ. He's here. Okay, let's go check him out. She was excited. And so Andrew brought his brother, and he brought others to Jesus because he was just excited. He was excited about what he had found. And in doing so, he changed his brother's life forever. And like Andrew, we are to believe that Jesus is worth knowing and be excited about sharing him. The third reason that Andrew brought his brother to Jesus was because Peter trusted him. Peter trusted him. And so we're to develop trusting relationships to better share Jesus. Now, that could be really kind of complicated when you're talking about your immediate family, because your family knows you, you know, and they know all your weaknesses, and they know most of the stupid things that you've done and said. Others you probably have tucked away, and no one knows but God. You know, they might have even seen some of the things you've done and been offended. So it might be important for you to go ahead and humble yourself and ask for their forgiveness for those things that you've done in the past. You might even need to go out of your way and mend some proverbial fences or fix some bridges that you've burnt or broke or smashed, you know, and then show them some love and appreciation. That's because, as it's been rightfully observed, that most folks don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. And that can be especially true when it comes to family. It seems to me that Andrew had a good reputation with his brother. He had a good reputation with his brother. I mean, after all, Peter already knew Andrew was a very spiritually minded man. And that's because he was a disciple of John the Baptist's. And so when Andrew invites him to come see Jesus, Peter didn't question Andrew's honesty or integrity. He simply went. I think about the Apostle Paul, who encouraged Titus to develop that same kind of honesty and integrity to create trusting relationships in order to share the gospel with those around him. There in Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Paul writes, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled and everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. You know, clearly there's something important about having good integrity and honesty about you as a Christian, you see. And Andrew clearly had built a trusting relationship with his brother. So again, when Andrew comes and says, hey, come see the Messiah, Peter didn't go, ha, you're kidding me. He said, okay, let's go. Peter gets up and he goes because he knew that he could trust something that Andrew had to say. And because Peter knew that his brother loved him. Again, like Andrew, we are to believe that Jesus is worth knowing, be excited about sharing him, develop those trusting relationships. And our fourth point for this morning, we are to invite people to Jesus at different times and for different reasons, different events, you know. Now, besides our text in John 1, there are a couple of other texts that talk about Andrew. John chapter 6 is also an example of Andrew bringing someone to Jesus. And this text, I think, should be rather familiar to us because it's one of the few miracles that appears in all four Gospels. Let me see here if we can't get to that on my little device here. And it's the feeding of the 5,000, sorry about that. So let's go ahead and read the text of the feeding of the 5,000. And this is John chapter 6 and verses 1 through 13. John 6, 1 through 13. There we're told that sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. And Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already knew, for he had in mind, that is, what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. Again, that's a text that should be pretty well familiar with. It's in all gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's take a look back at verse 8. And there we see Andrew. There's our man, Andrew, bringing a young boy to Jesus. Now, just think about that for a minute. I mean, I'm trying to be, just picture the scene. There are thousands of people on that mountainside, thousands, 5,000 besides men, women, and children, So Andrew finds a boy. Out of thousands of people, he finds a boy, and he brings a boy to Jesus. And I have to kind of wonder, okay, Andrew, you mean you couldn't find somebody else that maybe had a loaf of bread or something? You found a boy with a mere sack lunch, to feed thousands. Still, you know, the crowd is hungry, and this boy seems to be the only person there who has any food with him. And Andrew is the one, though, who brings this boy to Jesus. And in bringing that one boy, we see in this account, we see that this one boy bringing his meager contribution to Jesus, that the whole crowd of people were fed. And they all saw the power of God. And now throughout history, just like the breaking of the perfume over Jesus' head and the woman, that this would be known and told about it forever, this boy it's been told about him forever. That because of this boy and the fish and the loaves, that thousands were fed. They all saw the power of Christ because that Andrew brought this boy. You know, we still have LTC going on here. We don't talk about it that much. We don't have pictures on the screen like we should. There's some online. If you have Facebook or if you have a chance to take a look at the newly renovated website. Leadership Training for Christ happens on Wednesday nights. And if you don't remember, LTC is a practical class that encourages Christian leadership and service. You see, it's the LTC class that is really responsible for our annual Thanksgiving baskets, although we don't usually talk about it as much as we should. And it's the LTC class that's really responsible for annual caroling that's now to the shut-ins. And it's really the LTC class that does the Bible Bowl every year. That happens this year down in San Jose. It's happening on March 25th. Okay, and we're going to go down there. Lord willing, Denver and Timothy and Devin and Thomas are all going to go down there. And, you know, we're going to let these young men come to see Jesus, you see. And then, you know, when that happens, then a whole crowd of people can be fed spiritually, just like the crowd on the mountainside when that little boy was brought to see Jesus. You see, everyone can see the power of Christ at work in their lives. So LTC is an important thing that we do. Of course, besides inviting young people to Christ through things like LTC, you know, we can go ahead and invite anyone of any age, really, at any time for any reason to meet Jesus among us, whether it's to one of our assemblies Sunday morning or Sunday nights or Wednesdays, maybe to one of our Bible classes like the newcomers class that Jim is doing in the back, or the new Bible class that we've got going with Jeremiah that just started, really interesting class with Dave in the front, or maybe the ladies like to just get together in the back with Penny and do a study there. And of course, we've got children's classes, and we've got potlucks and lunches like today, and movie nights. And, you know, I was thinking, well, should we do a movie night this month? And I heard people say, why don't we do a movie night? We should do a movie night. So, hey, guess what? The 18th, we're going to do a movie night. We're going to watch the movie Woodlawn. Someone said, oh, it's another football movie. Actually, it's about racism, but it's mastermind. You need to watch the movie. It's good. Okay? It's coming up on the 18th. All right? Coming up on the 18th at 7 o'clock. It'd be a great time to invite someone to meet Jesus about how Jesus brings peace to a people. It's a good movie. Maybe it's a personal Bible study that you got going at someone's home or yourself, you know. Whatever the situation, we're to invite people to Jesus. And so back to John 6 and Andrew. There Andrew brought this young boy to Jesus. A little later on in John chapter 12, Andrew and Philip bring along some outside people who are interested in Christ. You see, there are these Greeks who would like to get to see Jesus. Gentiles, you know. So Andrew and Philip, they go ahead and they bend a little bit of the rules, you could say, and they bring them in for an intimate meeting with the Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that and inviting those outside of our immediate circle next week. But for now, what we want to see here is how Andrew, back in John chapter 1 especially, invited others to see Jesus, especially his brother. And just how does he do it again? Well, it's pretty simple. He just tells his brother that he has great news. Got great news. That there's something special going on. So he's got to come see it. And again, you know, we've got special things that happen here from time to time. You know, there are ways that we can try to copy what Andrew did. I don't know, maybe it's Mother's Day. It's a good time to invite moms, right? Because we hand out flowers to all the ladies. Or maybe it's something like for the kids or the grandkids, and we can invite along parents to help out, like our vacation Bible school that's set for July, and it's going to involve pirates. Arr, it looks pretty cool, actually. And let's not forget the last Sunday of this month with our potluck and special activity for the kids. We even have flyers in the back with one of our own on there. Denver's picture is on there. If you look at it and say, hey, that looks familiar, it's Denver, okay? Anyway, so take that and share it for this month's potluck. Share it with those, especially within our circle. course, besides those fellowship experiences that we have at those special meeting times, the real purpose of having those events, besides fellowship, is to invite someone, to these events so that we could help them to see Jesus. So today, again, if there's anyone here who has, I don't know, maybe just come to see Jesus as the Messiah like Andrew did the very first time, well, you're encouraged then to come and follow him, to come forward and obey the gospel of Christ by placing your faith in him as the Son of God, and then repenting of your sins and submitting to God's will by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do that, well, then Jesus says that you're saved, Mark 16:16. And for those of us who already know Jesus as Christ and have obeyed the gospel, then prayerfully, like Andrew, we'll all do like he did and believe that Jesus is worth knowing and be excited about sharing him by developing those trusting relationships and inviting people to Jesus. So if there's anyone here this morning who needs to put Christ on in baptism, or for those looking for some encouragement maybe to invite souls to Jesus, whatever the case may be, I'd like to encourage you to come forward now as together we stand and sing.